You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. I'm Tony Morita, founding pastor of Imago Dei Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Our guests today are Jeff Metters and Doug Logan. Jeff is the director of theology and content for Send Network. He is also an author, a preacher, and a PhD student in biblical spirituality at Southern Seminary, studying Charles Spurgeon and the Song of Songs. Jeff is a native Houstonian, where he lives with his wife and two kids. Doug Logan planted and pastored Epiphany Fellowship Church in Camden, New Jersey. He is the author of On the Block. Currently, he is the pastor for church planting at Remnant Church in Richmond, Virginia. Doug and his wife Angel have been married since 1996 and have three sons, four grandkids, and one great-grandson. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be back.
It's hard to believe you have a great-grandson. But here we are, man. You wrote On the Block, and you have been around the block, haven't you?
Amen. You ain't said a lie yet, Tom.
And Jeff, you're writing books, and we're going to talk about a new book you guys are writing, The Soul Winning Church, in just a moment. But one thing I think the listeners should know is that you go by J.A. Metters as an author. Yeah. And I know a number of famous authors have used their initials, C.S., and so on. But why J.A.?
Yeah, part of it is my deep longing to be British. The C.S., J.I., J.R., C.H., there's a lot of great. But the true story is Jeff Metters is an actually more common name than I realized. There is a more famous, more well-known, more loved, more respected, more Googled Jeff Metters than me. He is Jeff Metters, the ESPN Hall of Fame pro rodeo analyst. And so I was getting emails about the rodeo. I was getting tweets about the rodeo. I was getting all kinds of social media tags. I mean, I even had church members sending me pictures of their TV of Jeff Metters calling the rodeo. And living in Houston, I think the biggest rodeo in the world, that didn't help. So when my agent, you know, we got all this book world, all this stuff, they talk about, hey, you know, your name and Google searches and you just recognizability, whatever. So we went with J.A. Metters. And then also come to find out there is another one, a pastor named Jeff Metters in Arkansas. And I was getting emails about their church budget and I was counseling their members on what to, you know, how to be kind to their pastor. And that Jeff Metters actually reached out to be my friend on Facebook. And so I get confused every time he shares an update and what's going on. And he told me that he actually had breakfast with the rodeo Jeff Metters, and he's a brother in Christ. And they had a great time. And he said, I think the three of us should get together and have a little Jeff Metters conference. I said, amazing. Let's make it happen.
The Jeff Metters friend group. And I'm going to venture to say that you've never been to a rodeo.
You know, I've never been to the rodeo part. I've been to the concert part, and it was terrible. Okay. It was just awful sound. But no, I've never seen the parking's horrible, the food, the tickets. I don't like crowds.
Yeah, well, I know you describe yourself as an avid indoorsman, and so I wouldn't think that rodeo would necessarily be your thing.
Yeah, no, it makes me nervous to see all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's great to have you guys on today. We could banter for a long time, but we want to get into this book, The Soul Winning Church. Why this book, guys, and how did it come along?
You know, it started, Tony, it probably wouldn't surprise you that, you know, I mean, the three of us, we've been friends for a long time, is that when Doug calls, they are not short phone calls. And they're also not unproductive phone calls. They're very, ideas start flying, counsel and encouragement and kind of, you know, just all kinds of stuff comes out of these phone calls. And one day we are on the phone And we are both kind of having a holy discontent about the state of church planting and the way we're looking at things and the way that we are seeing planters unprepared, the way training is going on. And we just began to rattle off about how, and this is something Vance talks about a lot too, is sometimes these guys just think about planting a service and just getting more Christians to come to their new service. And I'm sick of operating in the sheep trade market. Like, we don't want anything to do with that. We want to see the sheep trade market close down and to see more people converted unto Christ. And so as we, Doug and I were sitting around talking about it, it was like, you know, guys need to be praying for conversions and not just like once or twice and not just in one meeting, but to build an entire culture in the church of seeking the Lord of the harvest, that he would bring more people into the kingdom. It has to permeate the church. And so that got us going. Then we talked about, man, you got to have a certain posture to be an evangelistic church. And the way you preach, that you shouldn't just have like one evangelistic sermon, but there are ways for, as you preach gospel sermons, that it would all point towards calling people to Jesus, personal evangelism. I mean, we just started rattling off all these different things that we thought, man, guys need to be trained in this, both church planters and existing churches. And so, and the last one, I mean, the process for new converts is so huge. So we just sat around and as we were talking about this and dreaming of what training could look like, I just thought, Doug, this could be a book. Like, I just scribbled down a quick outline. I was like, I think this really could be a book. And the great folks at the Good Book Company agreed to publish that, and it comes out in August. And so we're really thrilled for the book.
It's awesome. Soul winning's an old word, Doug. Why did you all decide to go with that?
Well, Jeff is a Spurgeonite. I'm a little bit, and I love him. So, you know, we've got everything Spurgeon. So we just wanted to really tip our hat to his faithfulness to the gospel, his faithfulness as a pastor to being about the business of converts. And we love his book, The Soul Winner, which was about personal evangelism. But as church planters, which three of us are, you know, the church, the whole church plant is the evangelism team. You know, some churches have a couple of special evangelists. I'm from the old Baptist, old Black Baptist church, and we had ordained evangelists. But we believe that the whole church is the evangelism team. So we wanted to take Spurgeon's vision and view of soul winning and make that about the body of Christ, the local body getting together and going hard in the paint to see their city converted, not just, as Jeff stated so eloquently, in the sheep trade market.
Yeah, I remember reading Spurgeon's book, The Soul Winner, when I was a young preacher at youth camp. I preached for like 10 weeks in a row, and that book fired me up so much to preach for conversions. And I love recasting this or reusing it, retrieving this, I guess is the best way to say that, and to put it front and center. Jeff, what's some more significance to behind the phrase, the soul winning church?
I was flipping through Spurgeon, saw The Soul Winner, and then it made me sit back and think about, man, I love the word, because sometimes when we talk about evangelism, I think there is, wrongly, there can be a sense that Christians get of an automatic sense of guilt. Just cascades over us. And guilt is never something we want to encourage as a part of like the Christian life. There is conviction, and that comes from the Spirit, and that propels us forward. But guilt only comes from the devil and shame and all that kind of stuff, really. So we want to get away from that. But evangelism is a good word. Gospelizing, what we see is a good word throughout the Scriptures. But I love the word soul winning, because it really is communicating, this old word is communicating two things. First is, we are dealing with things of eternity, the word soul. Like, we're not just out there rehearsing facts when we evangelize. We are dealing with matters of light and darkness, of heaven and hell, of eternity and forgiveness, spirituality. I mean, so we are going toe-to-toe with the spiritual forces of evil. And we're dealing in the matters of people's souls. And so that should really create a sense of urgency in us, a sense of dependency and prayer, zeal. that, man, we're dealing with people's souls. So soul and then winning, I think, communicates something that we often forget is the checkbox moment is not really a checkbox thing at all. It's not, okay, I shared the gospel. Phew, done. No, I do want to win people for Christ. I want to see them moved, as Paul says in Colossians, from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son. That we do want them to repent and we want them to turn. That's the goal. The goal isn't just, okay, let me share the gospel and then feel better about myself. But no, I want you to be one to Christ, as Jesus tells his disciples and tells us, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Like, right. we're really going to do it. And so throughout the book, we talk about all these things, all towards that goal of really, how can we be a part of the Lord's work of him drawing souls, drawing people into his kingdom?
What would be some of the keys to being a soul-winning church?
Yeah, I'll go first, and then Doug can take the next one. The first one, it has to begin with prayer. That sometimes we can just dive right into, okay, let's talk about evangelism. Let's talk about different angles to presenting the gospel. And we'll get to that. But man, the first work is praying. That we cannot really be soul winners. We cannot really be faithful, fruitful, effective evangelists if we aren't seeking the Lord of the harvest. And Jesus tells us the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And it's amazing he doesn't say, so get out there. But he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers into his harvest. And I love that Jesus says, it's his harvest. It's not ours, it's his. And so we should be praying, seeking the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord, as Jonah says. And so it all begins with prayer. And it's a great anecdote, of course, from Spurgeon in the book where he talks about prayer meetings. And we really want to encourage churches to think about prayer meetings, to not cancel them because, you know, it's a holiday weekend or whatever it may be, because it's often right. The most easily canceled event on the church calendar. But yeah, we've got to revive this serious and sincere seeking of souls. And so prayer is the first thing that sets the entire track. I mean, imagine if you have 12 elder meetings a year. Imagine, and if you pad on the agenda, we're going to pray for conversions, people by name, every time. Maybe you meet every week. Maybe you meet on average, you know, 48, 50 times a year. How many times you are now going to the throne room of heaven, asking God to really save people? And Jesus says, we don't have because we don't ask. And so let's ask. Let's get after it. So first one's all in prayer. Doug?
But to illustrate that, I was writing on this subject just a few days ago. Maybe you've seen this C.S. Lewis quote before. He said, I have two lists of names in my prayers, those for whose conversions I pray and those for whose conversions I give thanks. Mm-hmm. The little trickle of transferences from list A to list B is a great comfort.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. That's we want to see them go from list A to list B, Dougie.
That's needed, that quote.
We needed that already.
Needed that quote.
Amen. And another unique piece, Tony, is that often there's not a process. That was a big deal for me and Jeff, a process for the new converts.
Right.
How do you go from unbelieving visitor to believing Christian leader? We have to be able to have a plan in place to see them walk from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. And often evangelism stops at the baptism as they come to know Jesus. But what happens after that? Do they just go to church? And so we have to assume that because the Great Commission is making disciples, not evangelism, but it's making of the disciples, do we have a discipleship plan, a process for people who just came out of a life of darkness into light? Do we have a class, a training, a person in place, a procedure, something that they can walk in this process of sanctification as they come to grow? And because those, you know, we believe, I speak for me and Jeff, that there's a bunch of church planters that are going to be church planters that aren't even Christians yet. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get to them through this beautiful gospel, see them converted and build from the broken. So often we import leaders, but how beautiful will it be? Tony, you planted in North Carolina, Jeff planted in Houston. Man, to see a person come to know Jesus, this whole process where we disciple and develop them, and then to see in 12 to 13 years that guy become a church planter because we're building from the broken pieces of our city and not just throwing them into the general population of the church to fend for themselves. So that process is so, so important. And the last heavy piece that I love about it is the preaching. To your point, you guys are both amazing preachers. And between the conferences and the globetrotting we do preaching, often we're preaching in a room full of pastors. And I want to remind pastors, when you on a Sunday morning at your local church, we must assume that there's some lost folk in there because the gospel is for the lost and the found. But so often we go through these sermon series that sort of says, you know the story. And my mother would scream, yeah, I do, but we pay you to tell it. And so, so we've got to remind people that there's people that don't know Jesus. And I don't know if elder teams have in place this concept as a culture. And so that process in preaching is so, so imperatival in my mind. It has such an imperatival flow to it that I think that's going to change. Because if not, we're going to see people come from that are going to learn camps of Christianity and join camps and not join Christ. They're going to join the camp of the Baptist, the camp of the Presbyterian, and not Christ. And we last thing we need is unsaved bootleg Christians operating in the church, not knowing they're not Christians.
Yeah, well, didn't Spurgeon say something like to the guy who wasn't seeing conversions, that are you expecting conversions when you preach? And I think that's key. Like it's on your mind. And I think the same with your process. Like if you build a process that includes, let's say, a new believer course, that's something unique, that's communicating something to your church. We plan on reaching new people, you know, unbelievers, and starting them here rather than dropping them into, you know, systematic theology immediately or whatever. I love it, guys. Thank you for listening to the New Churches podcast, everyone. We'd love for you to leave a review wherever you subscribe to your podcasts. Remember, friends, the tomb is empty and the throne is occupied. We are good news people in a bad news world. So let's go engage our communities with the gospel out of the overflow of a Christ-adoring heart.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.